Dana, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
I read Susan Tampor's column from Sunday's newspaper, and you were the focus of that story. And after reading it, it gave me a lot of hope for what's going to happen the rest of 2011 and the rest of 2012 for the state of Michigan as well as for America. Before we start talking about economics, which is your thing, the gas prices was interesting. Your prices with that, you mentioned in the story that you're not someone who knows, who focuses on politics or the gas prices, but they do have residual effects on the rest of the economy.
Yeah, to figure out what's going to happen to gasoline prices, I really think you have to figure out what kind of political contagion is going to continue in North Africa and the Middle East. And to say the least, that's a complicated story. So I don't pretend to know. I think there's two-sided risk. I think the contagion could get worse and put a more upward pressure on prices. But on the other hand, I think if some of the key countries involved demonstrated ability to sort of suppress the disorder, we could see some decline in gasoline prices. So to me, that's a big wild card in terms of the economic outlook.
I believe that you think that if oil prices stabilize in the $90 to $110 a barrel range, that the U.S. economy will stop getting, the drag on the economy will stop getting worse.
Yeah, we have averaged so far this year $100 a barrel compared to $80 a barrel last year. That's certainly enough to take a 4 or 5 tenths of out of GDP growth this year, but it won't continue to get worse and worse and worse if we just kind of continue to fluctuate in that range.
And your economic forecast for 2012 states that it will be stronger than 2011.
Yeah, I think there's two important pockets of softness in the economy that time will help heal. One of them is the house price situation, where more foreclosures will spill out, and I think we'll also see very low building activity. And so over time, we'll see some of the excess houses absorbed and create a better balance between supply and demand. And I think so the drag from housing, I think, will subside. The other drag is the state and local sector. They're under pressure to keep cutting their payrolls, keep paring back on their services, and I think they're likely to continue to see their revenues recover, and so the pressure on them to keep cutting will diminish over time. So I think there is a pretty good chance that the second half of this year looks a little stronger than the first half, and that 2012 looks a little stronger than 2011 as that healing process continues.
You're forecasting light vehicle sales hitting about 14.2 million in the second quarter of 2012, up from 13 million in the first quarter. How'd you arrive at that number?
Well, I'm anticipating that we're going to get pretty decent pattern of hiring, probably create about twice as many jobs this year as last. That'll help put people in a better situation to commit to buying cars. The other thing is that's really critical is the what I was talking about just a minute ago, the house prices. That's been a major source of drain on household net worth as house prices have continued to fall. If those prices stabilize, people have a better sense that their net worth is stabilizing, if not growing. That also puts them in a better situation to buy some cars. So, we've got a long way to go. We used to run car sales between 16 and 17 million units at an annual rate. I don't think we're going to go back there anytime soon, but I think we're going to continue to see this upward trend of a gradual sort in unit auto sales.
Now that we look back, do you think the Big Three could have survived without the federal government intervening with funds?
I suspect that at least Chrysler would have had trouble surviving. So I think that the shape of the auto industry that we're looking at now was changed by the intervention. We can debate forever whether that was a good thing or a bad thing. But I think it's definitely the case that Chrysler in particular was on the brink and might not have been able to survive. But in fact, we don't need to rerun history. That there was the intervention. Both companies are doing well now. They've both gotten a great handle on their fixed costs, and both certainly have the possibility of performing well in the years ahead.
You're listening to the Tony Connolly Morning Show on 1320 WILS. We're talking with Dana Johnson, who's the chief economist at Comerica Bank. And Dana, you think that the state needs to build a welcoming business environment. Do you think that Governor Rick Snyder is creating that environment?
Yeah, I think he is. But I think there's been a lot of work done even before he was governor. The state was under a tremendous pressure, mostly because of the woes in the auto sector. And I think we did a lot of work over the last 5 or 10 years in changing for the better many of our economic institutions. And I think that process is now continuing under Governor Snyder. I'm particularly pleased to see the business tax situation sorted out. I mean, when you're trying to retain businesses or attract new businesses to the state, at a minimum, you've got to be able to tell them what their tax liabilities are going to be. Well, we're finally in a situation where we can do that with conviction that this is what it's going to look like if you come here, and that removing that uncertainty is just a huge plus for trying to retain and attract new businesses.
I find that your comment in Susan's column interesting about the movie industry. She quoted you as saying that Governor's Rick Snyder's move to end expansive incentives for the film industry isn't necessarily a bad idea. Why do you think that?
The main reason is I think it's very hard for anybody, government officials or investors, to figure out what industries are and what companies are going to prosper in the future. And to sort of commit your state to supporting particular industries, to me, is based on the false premise that you can understand what the good companies, what the good industries are going to be in the future. I think far more effective is to just to create an overall attractive business environment and get your fair share of the new enterprises. And in all likelihood, where those new enterprises emerge is going to surprise us, because we're not going to anticipate the new technologies, and we're not going to anticipate who the new winners and who the new losers are going to be when you look ahead to the future. So I think a far sounder thing to just create a good environment and be confident that you'll get your fair share of the new good companies.
All right. Dana Johnson is the chief economist at Comerica Bank. Dana, thanks so much for the conversation. Appreciated your time.
Tony, it was a pleasure to talk with you.